Realtors.com.
It's kind of hard to be funny with the President of the United States sitting right next to you, looking at you, and yet somehow, day in and day out, Joe Biden manages to do it.
Ah, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I think that it's a moment that many in the White House dread and some people just absolutely love. We're going to provide you with some of the moments because I think Jimmy Kimmel actually is a pretty funny guy. And he did, from what I understand, an excellent job in a sometimes tough situation because there's that fine line of how far do you go in order to get the chuckles. And what you just heard there I thought was actually pretty funny, and he's an easy person to beat up on when we talk about Joe Biden, certainly. Also, this hour of America tonight, going to talk about some really strange accidents that happened over the weekend. I always say it's about the buzz in the backyard. Well, two places where I happened to stop off today, everybody was talking about the big tent collapse that happened in St. Louis. So if you don't know what I'm referring to, I'll jump on that. Also in New York, a lot of you listening to me in the East Coast, there was this very strange SUV accident near the Bronx Zoo. I guess strange in the sense that you never hear of it happening, but you've got a ramp not too far away, and unfortunately, the SUV skid off, flipped over, and just fell down, plunged right near the zoo. Also, the attacks were flying when it comes to politics. Of course, it's the Sunday swirl, and you might have taken a break from politics over the weekend to maneuver around the politics of your own family. Well, how about the politics in D.C.? That's what it's always about. Sunday morning, it's interesting. Sunday morning, a lot of people go to church, come back, and flip on some of the stuff that they've taped to hear what's being said over all the rest of the weekend, you know, things that happened during the week. So there were a lot of attacks squarely on the president for a couple of different reasons, and we'll jump to that as well. But first, before we get to anything else here on America Tonight, I mean, this is big because we've talked all along the way about the debates and how the debates became such a rubbernecking kind of thing. Whatever happened in the news, whatever was the buzz, whether it was about health care, whether it was about taxes, whether it was about jobs, whether it was about immigration, whether it was about getting Osama bin Laden, you know, whatever really tripped the dial on that particular week. If there was a debate, I think that was part of the reason people were tuned in, because it made it so, so interesting. Well, now we know that Romney's the guy. We knew that really all along. A lot of people wanted to deny that, but he clearly was the establishment guy from day one. So Newt Gingrich was one of those guys who was hanging on till the end. He hinted that it was pretty much over last week, but officially he's going to end his campaign on Wednesday in D.C., The former Speaker of the House was really, at one point in the campaign, considered to be the biggest rival to Mitt Romney. And I think a lot of people thought conservatives would completely line up behind Gingrich and he would find a way to get enough delegates and topple the establishment pros who were pushing Romney. Why he's going to go all the way through to Wednesday, I don't get it. At the White House Correspondents' Dinner, even, where you just heard that snippet of Jimmy Kimmel, the president was easy to make a target of Newt Gingrich, joking that Gingrich would be his likely opponent in November, because he said, "Newt, there's still time," and the whole place, you know, chuckled. Because that was his deal, that he was going to hang on to the end. So he unofficially dumped the news that he was ending his campaign last week. But now I guess it'll just become official on Wednesday what he's going to say and why Wednesday. You know, who knows? Also, because so many tongues were wagging over the Secret Service, which I don't get. the Secret Service. The reason I don't get it is because they screwed up royally, obviously, in Colombia and got caught with their pants down, so to speak. Listen, what did they waste? Tons of our money through this investigation, and there's more to come. I'll say it again. I've said it five times. Cut a memo, say there's zero tolerance, and that's it. That's it. So moving forward, anybody caught in this situation, you're done. You're done. You want to party, you want to hang out, you can do whatever you want, but you can't hang out with prostitutes in another country on the road. It's a zero-tolerance game. So because the Secret Service was humiliated, embarrassed, whatever word you want to stick in there, by the Colombia prostitution scandal, they decided on Friday to toughen what they call their standards of conduct with new restrictions. You know what the restrictions are? On drinking alcohol, a ban on patronizing of what they're calling non-reputable establishments. So do we have to have an advance team in front of the advance team to scope out what bars are okay to go to when they arrive in another country? And there's also been a prohibition on agents bringing foreign nationals back to their hotel rooms. Meet a pretty girl. She might be smart. She might be great. But you're not bringing her back to your hotel room. And check this out. Booze off limits. No booze, no tequila, no shooters, no lemon drops, no anything. 10 hours before an agent's shift starts, and they should only be consumed in what they're calling moderate amounts while off duty. So if you are a single male who doesn't like to drink, doesn't ever think that you will meet an attractive woman in another country and flirt with her and want to take her back to your hotel room, then you might be eligible to work for the Secret Service. So now, as is this, the way we roll in the United States, the pendulum sweeps over to the other side, and you can bet that there's got to be some Secret Service agents who are muttering under their breath. So they're going to have these standard of conduct briefings before all protective visits, events, and all that other stuff. So before the plane leaves, it's like when you're in Girl Scout camp, or many of you can relate more to Boy Scout camp, and you get the rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. Watch out for the campfire. They have to go through the rules every single time. Every single time they have to do that. So they really... My memo was better. Zero tolerance, that's it. Because the one I think is interesting is the patronizing of non-reputable establishments. How do you determine in Colombia, in Russia, in France, in wherever, what is a reputable establishment? And the alcohol thing, too. As I said, there are definitely some Secret Service agents who are muttering under their breath. Easier to have zero tolerance. But it's done, even though this investigation continues. Stay with us. Much more to come. We're kicking the can. Can't you hear it? Down the road here on ATN.
A healthy heart starts with Extendivite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your lake will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
Mr. President, you remember when the country rallied around you in hopes of a better tomorrow? That was hilarious. That was your best one yet.
Jimmy Kimmel, he was the comedian chosen to run the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which somebody sent me a trivia question the other day. You might find this kind of interesting. I thought I'd throw it out here in America tonight. Do you know who the first president was who allowed women to go to the correspondence dinner? They've been doing them for a long time. Do you know who the first president was to allow broads, now someone's going to write me a nasty note about using the word broad, to go to the correspondence dinner? 855-266-KATE. We have a new number. 855-266-5283. Under the heading of "You Have to Be Kidding Me," I happened to read this over the weekend, and I was, I don't know why. To me, it just seems like such a bad idea. There's been so many problems lately with these floating pleasure barges, and especially the bigger they are, the more ridiculous it is when they're out there at sea, and these crazy things that we've seen happen lately. I'm not just talking about Italy, but other things that have happened where you have people that they have no power. They're dumping Pop-Tarts out on the deck to try to give the people some kind of substance. Just ridiculous. All right. So anyway, one of Australia's richest men wants to build the Titanic 2. Yes, Titanic 2. His name is Clive Palmer, and he unveiled some plans to do another Titanic, right? And there's something about that. Even using the name, I don't know that I would even use. Would you want to use that name? To me, there's something about karma. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to call it Titanic 2. Same dimensions as the previous Titanic. They say it's going to be every bit as luxurious as the original Titanic, but it'll have state-of-the-art technology and all the navigational tools and safety equipment and all that kind of stuff. He's a self-made mining billionaire, and he's commissioned a Chinese company to construct this thing, exactly as I said, with the same dimensions. It's going to sail in the Northern Hemisphere, and her maiden voyage will be from England to North America, and it's scheduled, here we are, 2012, almost into May, it is scheduled for 2016, and he's saying that he's invited the Chinese Navy to escort the Titanic to New York. How interesting is this? And this is just a couple of weeks after the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, and you know, that went down in 1912 after slapping into an iceberg, and we know the whole story, because of course it's been relived a million different ways, whether it's Broadway, James Cameron's 3D version, or the original version, or one of the many books that have been written on the Titanic. I mean, you get it. You know the story. I'm certain you know the story. So he's saying that because so many people are intrigued by it, and whether it's a loss of the people or for whatever reason, they want the spirit to go on, and he thinks it's a brilliant idea and thinks that, you know, it'll be a lot of people will line up to go on the original voyage and then will line up afterwards, too, to jump on board as well. So it's going to have 840 rooms, 9 decks. They did all this historical research on it. I mean, how much do you think this puppy is going to cost to make it? It's going to have onboard gymnasiums and swimming pools, libraries, restaurants, the usual stuff that you have on these ships. So this billionaire has a lot of time on his hands, I think. Or he realizes, okay, he's going to get the Chinese involved. He's going to really get them involved in this. And then he's going to really pitch it to the Europeans. And he has a market because people are so intrigued by the Titanic and what happened that they'll be just as intrigued to jump on the Titanic too. I don't know. To me, it seems like he's blowing a whole bunch of money, a colossal waste of money, in fact. I mean, give me a break. What could you do with the amount of money that this guy is pumping out there to come up with the Titanic too, to do it again? I can think of a million different ways to invest that money. And the whole idea, ship built in China? In China. I get what he's doing, though. I get what he's playing to, but I also wonder if that, I wonder if that'll be a turnoff to some people. I don't know. I'm just saying. So, you gotta be kidding me. That definitely goes under the heading of, you gotta be kidding me. Moving on to things that we really care about, because I think many of you really just don't care about that. Moving on to something else besides the Titanic Part 2. It was definitely a busy weekend, like I said, on the heels of a strange week in D.C. Too much time wasted over, I think, this whole Secret Service scandal. You heard what I just said about now these new rules are in play and how crazy that is. I think part of the eyes of the world are on what's going to happen next, what happens in the upcoming weeks in Washington, because now that we're almost tripped into May, you have two major decisions that will come out of the Supreme Court. And one is health care. It'll have rippling effects on so many people. And the other one is the Arizona immigration law. I got a ton of email from people the last couple of weeks over Arizona and immigration and Jan Brewer, the governor, and, you know, all kinds, she was called all kinds of names and emails that were sent to me. Good nicknames and terrible nicknames. So it seems as though the audience is split on this. So I invite anyone, what is your vision? Send it to me. What is your vision for the problems that we're wrestling with in this country with illegal immigration? You know, now people who are here illegally, they don't want to be called aliens. They don't want to be called illegal immigrants. They want to be called undocumented workers. So that's the new politically correct term. And you have, for example, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who is facing a federal racial profiling investigation for his police sweeps against illegal immigrants. And, you know, Sheriff Joe, to me, is one of those few guys who enforced immigration laws, and he's paying the price. So there were a lot of people over the weekend that came to his aid, and they were had a rally, and they were screaming, "Go, Joe, go," to show support for him, because now he's in trouble. Now he's facing some serious charges. And earlier this month, it was the Obama administration that said, you know, we're going to sue Arpaio and his department for violating civil rights laws by improperly targeting, here's another politically correct term again, Latinos. And the sheriff is saying, look, I didn't do anything wrong. The federal government isn't doing their job, and they're failing miserably. So now they're confronting anybody who has a solution to the problem of the for the people who live and work in areas in the nation where we have to deal with it in our face every single day. So to me, you know, this is obviously politically motivated. You know, it's got to be politically motivated. They are digging and digging and digging and digging. They've been digging for a long time, actually, on Sheriff Joe. And there's massive tension about illegal immigration now because of what's happened with Arizona and this U.S. Supreme Court oral arguments that were heard last week, and all this over a partially blocked state law that was targeting the people, they say, who were in the country illegally. And it never kicked in. I mean, people forget that. This law never, ever was implemented. So who knows how it would have played out? We have no idea. Because it never, ever was allowed to stand. It was immediately challenged, immediately challenged. So Sheriff Joe is now in the middle of that same hurricane. And, you know, we'll see what they come up with. It seems to me that they really have been just beating a path for him for a very, very long time. Hey, coming up next here on America Tonight, we got a great guest for you, Charles Stamper. We're going to talk about, speaking of the federal government, we're going to talk about that very thing when it comes to the economy. Yep, dollars and cents, trying to make sense of it without name-calling and without pulling each other apart in different directions, which seems to be the biggest problem. Can we have some nonpartisan cooperation in D.C.? Why don't we have it? What's the problem here? We're talking about it next on America Tonight.
Summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And you customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your turtle tough shelter and accessories included at turtletoughshelters.com. That's turtle, T-U-F-F, shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at turtletoughshelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Her hair was hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Woohoo! We're almost into May, do you believe it? Keep this number close, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. I have that number memorized since we had the same number for 5 years. It's only taken me a couple of weeks, so I'm going to give you a couple more weeks to get used to it. Everybody's sending me all these emails that they don't understand why I changed the number. It's a great number. It's an easier number. It's a better number, so stop your whining. All right, we got a great guest in the wings, Charles Stamper, and he's talking about something in a new book that he has out that interests me very, very much, and I think many of you as well. Ultimately, when we're talking about Democrats, Republicans, and the debt, and we know where we all really, I think, hang with the debt. We're sick of it. We don't understand it. We don't understand why there's no budget. His book is called A Dime's Difference, Democrats, Republicans, and the U.S. National Debt. Charles, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate. I really appreciate it.
So what was the impetus? What made you decide to write the book in the first place?
Well, I go into it a little bit in the prologue, but my wife and I had our first daughter about 4 years ago, and I just sat around and becoming anxious about the political situation in the country and especially the national debt for some time. Started watching a little TV, listening to a little talk radio, and all you ever hear are people shouting about one another and the Democrats saying the Republicans are the problem, the Republicans saying the Democrats are the problem. So I wanted to find out for myself which one of them was correct. Unfortunately, what I found out is neither one of them is right.
Yeah, and when you say that, so when you wanted to set about this course and figure it out, what were you expecting you were going to find?
Well, I was a lifelong Democrat up until now. That's what my mother was, my father was, and I was honestly expecting to find that Republican administrations, this book only takes a look at it from the perspective of the executive, I was expecting to find that Republican executives probably had a better record against the national debt than the Democrats did. Unfortunately, that is not what I found. They're almost exactly tied. We've had 55 total administrations, not counting the Obama administration. At the time I was doing research for this book, we weren't far enough into his administration. I didn't feel like it was fair to put him in there. But through those 55 administrations up to the election of President Obama, I define the Democratic Party as beginning with Andrew Jackson And the Republican Party is beginning with Abraham Lincoln. And what I found was 15 Democratic parties increased the debt, 15 Democratic administrations, excuse me, increased the debt, 15 Republican administrations increased the debt. Six Democratic administrations decreased it, and some Republicans decreased it. So there's essentially no difference in them.
So what do you think the solution is, bipartisan?
No, I don't. There was a quote from our first president, George Washington, that I refer to in the book. It comes from a document that's become known as his farewell address. And in that, he gives his opinion of political parties. Long story short, I'm of the opinion, and you will discover that in this book, that the party system is the problem. I don't think it's bipartisanship. I think we need to get back to Americanship, if you will, for lack of a better word. When you have Democrats that are doing what they feel is important for the Democratic Party, Republicans doing what they feel is important for the Republican Party, the nation sometimes gets lost in the mix. President Washington said, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends. They are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. And I think he was very prophetic with those words some 200 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess I think, you know, you understand this. You worked as a production manager. You worked in manufacturing. I mean, you get it. That's why you're saying once you had a child of your own, you're realizing, oh, my gosh, where are we headed with this? I mean, what are you hoping the solution ultimately is?
Exactly. And I still work in it. I mean, this is not how I make my living at this point. I hope that it might become that one day. But I still work. I still have a job. I still manufacture automobiles. I hope this book's intent was to get people that would never read about politics to read this book, to get people that have given up after they hear Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh on the conservative side, or Keith Olbermann, for instance, or Bill Maher on the liberal side, and they get so turned off by the name-calling, by the outlandishness, by the nothing is our fault, we're perfect, they're evil, and vice versa. This book, I tried to stay very nonpartisan. I tried to stay very impersonal about it. I don't call anybody names or anything like that. I just say, okay, this is where it was when you took over. This is where the debt was when you left. You describe yourself as a member of the Democratic Party. Or this is where it was when you took over. This is where it was when you left. You describe yourself as a member of the Republican Party. Just that simple. I think the solution is we have to take back our sense of responsibility. And when I say our sense, the Constitution depends upon, in my opinion, at least two things to control our federal government. That is the several states, which haven't been doing a very good job of making sure that the federal government abides by the Constitution, and each of us as individual voters. We have to say enough is enough, and it's time to do that now.
I agree with you. I think Charles, for me, more people need to be involved, because I always say that there's power to the people, and so many people forget. You just look at the documents. We the people that you vote for are your elected representative. That's the reason why we have the word representative. They're representing you. So I think the more people get their hands in it and get involved instead of just saying, oh, forget it, I don't want anything to do with it, it's terrible what's going on, but I'm not gonna bang on anyone's door, or I'm not gonna react. And we've seen when people rise up in a sense, when they complain, when they start to decide, okay, I'm gonna let my feelings be known, and I'm gonna get a group of people, and we're gonna start to call, and we're gonna start to bug our congressman or our senator or whatever. Then sometimes you'll see that things will flip and there'll be more attention paid, and maybe we can refocus back on the Constitution. How about that? What do you think about that for a solution?
You're exactly right. Actually, one of the action items that I call for in the book, and I really think that this will be effective if we can get the word out and see how many people we can get to do it. One of the things that I've done as a result of researching this book and writing it, I told you before, I was a lifelong Democrat. I no longer am. I actually went down to my county clerk's office here in Kentucky and I changed my registration to independent. I think we need to do exactly that. We need to get involved. And when I say get involved, I don't mean get involved with the Democratic Party or get involved with the Republican Party. We need to get involved as Americans, as individuals, as independents. And what I'm hoping, if there's a movement that can come out of this book, what I would like for it to be is I would like for about half of those that are registered as Democrats now to go change their registration now before the November 3rd presidential election to independent, and about half of the Republicans to change their voter registration to independent. I fully believe if that happened, if we made the Democratic Party and the Republican Party a minority as far as the registered voters in this country, if the majority suddenly became independent in a very short period of time, it costs nobody any money. It costs you a few minutes to go down to your county clerk's office and just change your registration. I think we'd get a lot of attention. We'd get it right now, and things might actually start to change.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. If you, it's like I say about a third party. If you have, if there's some other alternative or there's the threat of an alternative and you see that you can't stack the deck either way, then some of that logjam would have to end. What did you find in doing your research and looking at the numbers? What did you find? Did you find that one administration was worse than the other?
Actually, as far as dollar amount goes, yes. The Republicans have borrowed a significantly larger dollar amount. But the more striking thing that I came across in 1976, there seemed to have been a sea change. Up until then, we were sinking into debt, but it was at a much more controlled pace, and largely could be explained, to be perfectly honest with you. Another thing that George Washington talked about was the necessity to protect public credit. And in it, he said there will be unavoidable wars that will occasionally force public indebtedness. The solution to that, he said, is one, shun occasions of expense, cultivate peace whenever possible, and if should you run into debt, do the occasional war that cannot be avoided. In times of peace, work to retire that debt with a sense of urgency, in using different words. And we'd pretty much done that all the way up until really the first when President Roosevelt passed away and President Truman took over for him. That was the last four-year administration that actually handed off a lower national debt than they inherited. From that point forward, we were going in debt a little bit more each administration, but it was fairly insignificant. With the election of Jimmy Carter in 1976, it was a pretty significant bump in the national debt from 1976 to 1980. And then with Ronald Reagan in his 8 years, it was just absurd. It was 180-something%. And if you give me just a second, I'll flip over here and find out exactly what it was.
That's that Jeopardy moment. We need the Jeopardy music.
Yeah, I actually refer to that in the book at one point. I knew what the tune was. I would hum it for you, but unfortunately I don't.
That's funny.
But it's, where are you here? Well, I wrote the thing. You'd think I'd be able to find it pretty quick.
I know how that is. Searching for a number. Well, we know it was significant, as you said. The music means we're out of time. A dime's difference. Democrats, Republicans, and the U.S. national debt. Charles Stamper, thanks. Pick up his book at Amazon.com.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma. asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Alley C.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What a collection of people. Here in one room we have members of the media, politicians, corporate executives, advertisers, lobbyists, and celebrities. Everything that is wrong with America is here in this room tonight.
Boy, that kind of goes along with what Charles Stamper was just saying. Hey, speaking of that and numbers, when he was searching around for that Reagan number, what happened was during President Reagan's time in office, and as he said, if you looked closely at everything with the Republicans and the Democrats, it has increased, certainly. But if you looked at what happened when Ronald Reagan was president, you know, people were complaining about the national debt then. His first 6 years in office, the national debt was up, you know, had doubled, it more than doubled. And you had a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate and the upper house, of course, the upper house of Congress. So that's part of the comparison when you say, well, who were the legislatures then and how much did it go up? And, you know, you're talking about Reagan was the first president to increase the national debt by more than $100 billion a year, but he certainly wasn't the only one to increase the national debt. We've seen this happen all along, how the numbers have gone. I mean, you could go back to what Lyndon Baines Johnson dealt with when he was at the height of the Vietnam War and what happened with President Kennedy's large debt. It was $7.30 billion in 1962. And, of course, that was because of the defense spending that they had for the Cold War, and then you had the end of 62. So it's true when you talk about war, you're going to see that number really, really click up. I mean, here's the thing. The attention to the national debt at this point, certainly, and the other thing is to look at the GDP, which was different under Reagan, because think of how many people were making a really good living then, and that's part of the balance of that. What are people doing, and what's happening with our laws, and what kind of money are they making, what's the GDP, and all that other stuff. And, you know, here's the bottom line. Until we really hold the politicians' feet to the fire, we're never going to get the number we like. That's why the clock is busted. The national debt clock is busted. There has to be some serious slashing of government. And as long as you have the ideology of the Democrats versus the Republicans, you're not going to have that. I mean, or you listening to me, do you believe in bigger government, a fatter government, more regulation, or do you like a smaller, more manageable government? I've always been a small government person. From thinking of who would be one of my original heroes would be Tom Jefferson. So I believe in more states' rights than over-federalizing everything, because I've seen how it doesn't work when there's too much federal government. There are things that we should be able to look at for help to the federal level, but it shouldn't be all the things that we're at now. We shouldn't be in a situation where we are right now. And it's because of that reaction, because we're a nation that just reacts instead of being full of action. And that's what needs to happen. All right, you've heard Jimmy Kimmel bust on all kinds of politicians. And some people are saying that Kimmel wasn't, I heard he was pretty good, but some people are saying that Jimmy Kimmel at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which, by the way, was the 98th Correspondents' Dinner. And for those of you who were trying to hit me up, like Tank, who said, hey, I think the first, Truman was the first to let ladies into the Correspondents' Dinner. Then I got one here from Bill, listening to us in Vegas, who says, long time no talk, sports princess, listening to America Tonight, booyah, ex-Marine. And he says, I believe that it was Lyndon Baines Johnson. No, those are two incorrect guesses. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy was the first person to allow women to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So Jimmy Kimmel hosted this time around. You, like I said, you heard some of the snippets. But a lot of people thought it was weak comedy, that it wasn't great comedy, that it was more of a schmoozy doozy thing instead of hard-hitting, cut-you-at-the-knees comedy. And, you know, that it just wasn't funny. But I think Kimmel was pretty good from what I heard. Of course, I was not there. I listened to his whole deal, and I'm going to say they're wrong. I'd give him pretty decent marks, because when you're in front of the president, it's kind of hard. It is kind of hard, as he said, to be funny with the president sitting next to you, staring at you. Of course, that might be a cop out. But then he made the joke about somehow day in and day out, Joe Biden manages to do it. He did say some interesting things, like he praised the First Lady for her anti-childhood obesity campaign and made a joke about New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie, who last, when the talk show host, he said, reminds that the state slogan is not the Olive Garden State. And then he talked about the Democratic strategist Hillary Rosen's comment for criticizing Mitt Romney's wife Ann for not working a day in her life, and you know, he made jokes about that. So he was very timing wise, and as far as what was happening politically, I think he was pretty right on. He got some groans from a couple of people in the audience, especially over the Christie stuff. But otherwise, I'm going to say he did pretty good. I think it is tough to do that. And sometimes what happens is somebody gets up there and they get out their razor blade and it's just ridiculous and it's not even funny. So I think you got to give him a little credit. I'm going to give him, only from what I heard, I'm going to give him a B plus. Now, the president is getting a C minus to a D, not for what happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but for what has happened abroad with the 44th president of the United States, because the world was really into Obama becoming president. If you remember, that was the whole idea. He really infuriated a ton of us by going to Cairo, everything that happened from there on, and the whole Arab Spring thing and all that. And what's happening is people around the world are saying that they wanted to hear less about Americans swaggering and throwing their weight around, and instead that's all that they feel as though that they have gotten from the Obama administration. This is from a recent poll that came out. You know, a lot of people complaining about the Arab Spring and saying it's U.S. hypocrisy and that Washington withdrew support from autocratic folks like Mubarak when it became clear that they were going to get ditched, that they were in the ditch, but still supported others like Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, and then didn't close Gitmo because Guantanamo Bay was on everyone's radar, and that was one of the things the president said he was going to do, and that infuriated a lot of people. So a poll that was released last week by Gallup, and it was actually taken across 136 countries, and there are people listening to America tonight, and you can weigh in on this from other countries. Are you disappointed in what you've seen from the Obama administration? And you have no vote in this, but would you rather see a replacement player come in? Would you think Mitt Romney, because he's going to be the guy, would be better than what the current president is doing? Are you disappointed in what you saw? 46% of the people had a positive view of Obama's U.S. global leadership, but that fell from almost 50% in 2009. So he still is above what George W. Bush got, but that wasn't, Bush didn't care about that. That wasn't his thing. In 2008, Bush was at 34%. So this president is much higher than Bush was. Obama is he more popular internationally than Mitt Romney? Or is it kind of a wash? Is it kind of a wash? What do you think? Send me your thoughts at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Of course, if you are visiting in the States, you can give us a call at 855-266-8, 855-266-5283, because we're going to continue this throughout the week here on America Tonight to see what our friends from abroad think of our current president, and if they had a vote in it, would they vote Obama out? I already got one response. Obama has disappointed Russia. That's from Crystallized Soul. You can weigh in too.
We're the best. I've been telling you the best. The amazing upper body strength of the Russians. So amazing. They're nothing. Just a minute. Oh, they're nothing.
Turn in, Calgary.
O-T-H-I-N. Nothing.